As we welcome Fairhope Police Chief Stephanie Hollinghead into the studio for our community contact. Good morning, Chief.
Good morning.
This is one of those months where we normally have you the second Wednesday that follows the second Tuesday, Coffee with the Cop. Since Wednesday was the first of the month, this is actually the third Wednesday. But you did have coffee with a cop yesterday.
That is correct.
Right? Tell us about that. An informal gathering back at the Nick Center.
That's correct.
Where you have coffee and desserts with residents and hear their concerns.
That's right. And, you know, we didn't have a very big, I guess right here at the holidays, people
right.
got, you know, out of town and they've got things to do. And so it wasn't a very big meeting, and it was actually kind of a quiet meeting, which is unusual, but we do. We get in there. We listen to concerns of, you know, the citizens that are there. We talk about traffic. We talk about, you know, some of the scams that may be going on. And right now, even at Christmas time, we don't have a lot of that, anything new that's going on that we haven't, that we've noticed.
Okay.
So, you know, we just put out a little bit of awareness, letting people know if you're out shopping, you know, lock your vehicles. So yesterday it was actually kind of a short meeting. So we went over our stats, and there were a couple of questions relating to the stats that we talked about. But for the most part, it was a really good meeting. It was a short meeting.
Okay. And for those that are interested, it's the second Tuesday at 9 a.m. at the Nick Center.
That is correct.
Each month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That is
and
correct.
And not just for folks
Yeah. Anyone can be
okay.
there.
Anybody. Yeah.
Anybody
okay.
can
Whether
show
you're
up.
A member or not.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good.
Anyone can be there. So, but, you know, we just had our, I'll go back a little bit because I know November was a very busy month for us. We had our Veterans Day Parade, lighting of the trees, and the Christmas Parade.
That's and a lot to
that,
cover, isn't
That is
it?
A lot to cover, and everything turned out great. We had very good turnout for all three events, and especially the lighting of the trees and the Christmas parade were extremely busy. So something that we did a little different this year as a city is, you know, we're trying to get the whole route barricaded for safety of the public.
Yeah, I noticed the new orange plastic barricades,
yes.
And no more cables, or at least less a few.
Well,
of them.
It's going to be less cable.
Right.
We're working on in the next couple of years to make sure that we can get that whole route barricaded instead of using the cables. And it really worked out well. It's, you know, kind of nerve wracking when you're with the cable. You know, children run out from underneath the cable, so you're having to watch.
Right.
And just be very careful. That's always a huge concern of mine, and you know, the mayor, and we're looking to improve that you know, in our parades and our gatherings here at the city.
Okay. So everything went well, no incidents to report from any of
no.
those events.
Everything was great. Couldn't ask for anything better. And then we had beautiful weather on top of that. So
it was perfect. Okay.
It was. It really was.
And well, maybe some folks complained it was a little warm for a Christmas parade,
well,
but
you
not
know,
too bad.
It seems like. Well, I don't know if we didn't have that last year because of COVID, but it seems like in years past that we've experienced that too. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
But at least it didn't rain.
That's true.
So.
And we've all rode our new bikes for Christmas in short sleeves and shorts
that,
before around here.
That is
Absolutely.
True.
Absolutely.
Yes. So I can go over the stats.
Sure, let's do that.
Yes. So
I'm sharing them now on our Facebook page, where you can also find them on the police department's Facebook page.
Okay. So this is the stats from November, and I'll go over the reports that we took. We had 15 harassment, 8 domestic violence, 16 thefts, 4 shoplifting, 6 fraud identity theft, 12 criminal mischief, 22 drug reports, 3 public in talks, 1 resisting arrest, 61 failure to appear.
That's a large number.
It is, and it is, you know, that's just, that's warrants that we serve. And so that number is always a large number.
Right.
We had 1 disorderly conduct, 10 DUIs, 1 leaving the scene of an accident, 1 trespassing, 1 tampering with evidence, 8 document incidents. And what that is someone may just come in and say, look, I really don't want to do anything about this, but I want this situation or this particular incident documented. And it may not lead to anything, but it's just basically putting it on record.
Yes.
And we do a lot of that.
And that's a good thing for citizens to realize that is an option.
Exactly.
If there is a troubling situation that's not ready for action, but just in case, it's like...
if it's something that's leading up,
right.
If they feel like it's leading up to something, then mm-hmm. absolutely. We always recommend documenting. If you're not going to document with us, at least keep your own documentation.
Right.
So, 1, reckless endangerment. 2, unauthorized use of a vehicle. 1, impersonating a police officer.
Oh, can you tell us about that?
That particular situation, this was a call that we responded to where it was a harassment. And this individual told us that he was a Baldwin County Sheriff's deputy. But we documented it in the report that he did that, but he was not actually charged with it. Because he didn't provide like a badge, he didn't provide any credentials. He just made a comment, hey, I work with Baldwin County Sheriff's Department.
Okay.
So that was the way that we document our incidents or our offenses. That was something that we wanted to make a note of, but he was not actually charged with it.
Was he actually with the Baldwin County
Sheriff? No, he was
not.
No. Huh. And that's why they documented it that way, was in person and a police officer, but it did not rise to the level of actually being a chargeable offense.
Yes, okay.
And the impersonation, I think that is the same thing. I'm not sure why they added it on there twice.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's just the way it was documented. We had 1... damage, tampered with vehicle, 1, receiving stolen property, 1, concealing stolen property, 1, sex offender ID violation, 1, financial exploitation of elderly, 1, carrying brass knuckles, and 3, weapon violations, 1, lewd act, and 1, violation of a court order.
Okay, these are reports taken.
These are reports
and
taken.
And now what you're going to read are the arrest resulting from those reports.
That is correct.
So this is somewhat of a visual, so if you can look it up on the Facebook page, please do. But otherwise, you should be able to still follow along.
Okay, for the arrest, we have 3 harassment arrests, 9 domestic violence, 23 drug arrests, 3 public in talks, 1 resisting arrest, 61 failure to appear to court, 10 DUIs, 1 tampering with evidence, 5 thefts, 2 shoplifting, 1 minor possession of alcohol, 1 false info to a police officer, 1 disorderly, 1 lewd act, 1 possession of a stolen vehicle, 2 buying receiving stolen property, 3 criminal mischief, 1 sex offender ID violation, 1 carrying brass knuckles, and 3 weapon violations.
Let's go back to carrying brass knuckles /slingshot. What's illegal about that?
The brass knuckles are illegal.
Okay.
And the way, and again, this is something that we need to probably correct in our system. I don't know, and actually this came up in Coffee with a Cop yesterday, because a gentleman was saying, hey, I keep a slingshot, you
right.
know, in my vehicle, and he told us what, you know, for what reasons, and we told him, you know, well, we're not going to arrest you for having a slingshot, but brass knuckles are specifically illegal, and we had someone that possessed those, therefore they were arrested.
Okay. So here's our totals for the month of November.
We had a total of 1,970 calls for service. 193 reports were made. Of the reports, we had 77 arrests. And of those arrests, we had 133 charges. So we're still about where we normally are. I believe last month, we're probably up about 100 calls. So you can kind of see things are gradually increasing. And I believe it's just, you know, that's because it's this time of the year, you know, it's Christmas time, and
right.
and you're just going to see more theft, you're going to see shoplifting, those type things that are going to increase.
We're speaking with Chief Hollinghead with the Fairhope Police Department here on WABF. It is 8:35, 60 degrees now. Noise reports, I understand that your reporting system has changed. We used to have noise complaints posted and listed, and sometimes they were a problem with loud music, dogs, etc. Are you finding that to be an issue now? It's not on this system anymore.
And that is, you know, and I didn't even think about that till you mentioned it.
Me
that
neither.
We don't have the noise complaints like we did before. And that's just something I probably need to re-add back to this. We're always finding little things that we need to tweak.
But you've added a lot of interesting things that used to not be
and
reported.
We have.
So it's very interesting.
The state has now gone to a different reporting system, and I'm still trying to figure it out. We've gone from like a UCR reporting to now what's called NIBRS. And we're going to try to put some information out on Facebook so that we can explain exactly what that's going to mean, because we're not sure as we move into the first of the year how it's going to affect our stats, because it's going to be pulling different data from our reports to report to the state. And this is something that has been working, they've been working towards for the last several years, and it's just now making its way to Alabama. And so that is something that I'm hoping that we're going to see, you know, how that's going to affect us.
Well, you can't be any more transparent than this.
Well,
and I love the fact that the department is, and that all of this information is available and published every single month.
Absolutely.
And accessible for the public. My fingers are crossed, because the other day, I believe it was a Sunday night, a resident posted drone video of a fire, and said there was an explosion behind the Smoothie King. Well, people always tag me to find out what really happened, and I messaged you. And
yes.
So you said it was actually like a semi-truck
caught fire. Okay. Yes, I still do not know the cause of that. I have not spoken with Chief Ellis about that incident to find out what was the cause.
Okay.
But that's what that was.
All right. And so that was more of a fire department.
Yes.
Issue than it was a police department, of course.
That's correct.
Okay. And what else would you like us to know from your notes there before we talk about other things?
Okay. So City Protect, that was a web-based program that we were using at the police department to keep our citizens informed of what type of crimes were occurring in their neighborhoods, what was going on in the city. We are no longer using that, but we are in the process of looking at another company that we can use. And as soon as I get that information, or we get that up and running, I will make sure that that is put out to everybody so that we can, our citizens can get back up and to watching that. Also, we've been talking about our Citizens Academy, and the applications closed out. We received 55 applications. So I was really, really happy to see that many applications come in for our Citizens Academy. And this is going to be our first one. So on January 6th, let me go back. We've chosen 30 of those 55. And they've already been notified. And that will start January 6th through February 10th. And what they'll do is they'll meet for 6 weeks, from 6 to 8, at the police department or wherever, you know, we've got something going on for the training of that night. And what they'll do is, you know, we have officers that are going to come in and talk about, you know, certain or different disciplines within the department, whether it be canine, investigations.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be different things over a six-week period that we're going to discuss. And it just, you know, it bridges, you know, any gaps that we may have with our community. It opens up communication. It allows us to, you know, to interact with our community, which is extremely important to us. So we're very excited to get that started, and we hope to have a couple of classes a year.
Good. That's a new component that
has
sparked a lot of interest.
It has.
It really has. I was looking while you were talking over the city council agenda, because it was 5 pages long, but a lot of it was purchases that were budgeted, to see what may have been on your wish list. I see a dispatch recorder media work server upgrade for $19,925. And I don't see much else, though.
No, we did have vehicles. We had item 21 was ours. It we purchased, or they approved for us to purchase 3 new vehicles.
Oh, there we go. 2021 Ford Police Interceptor AWD utility or equivalent for the police department. Mm-hmm. All right.
And normally we order Tahoes, but because of everything that's going on with COVID, we can't get our hands on them. And we're, I mean, all agencies are you know,
right,
having issues in this, in that area as well. But this year we've decided to purchase 3 Ford Interceptors, and we're going to see how those work out with our fleet.
Okay. That's good. I see on Facebook, too, you are still looking for law enforcement officers, correction officers. What's the difference between a law enforcement officer and a correction officer?
Okay, our correction officer, both are certified, okay, but it's different certifications. Obviously, law enforcement is, you know, the officers that you see out on the street, enforcing laws, writing tickets, you know, all of that good stuff. And then our correction officers are strictly in our jail. They handle our inmates, you know, anything that happens or takes place,
mm-hmm,
when someone's arrested.
Right.
So that's two different components. We're also accepting applications for communications, which is our dispatch center. We've got part-time and full-time.
A communications officer?
Well, it's a dispatcher.
Okay. All right. So not like a public relations communications.
No. This is, okay, they receive emergency phone calls, mm-hmm, and dispatch the calls to the officers.
Is there training involved in order to be able to do that, apply for that position? Should you?
Everyone is trained. Everyone goes.
Or do you all train yourselves?
We train them.
Okay.
Yes, we train them. They go through, like our officers, once they go through the academy, unless they already have the academy, and then they go through a 10 to 16 week field training program that we have.
For a dispatcher?
No, this is for officers.
Okay,
now,
okay,
it just depends on the correction, on communication, it depends on the level of experience. It could be anywhere from 10 to 12 weeks where they train.
So even if you don't have any experience, but you have interest in doing this,
yes,
you can still apply.
You can still apply.
Okay,
yes,
well, that's good to know.
Absolutely.
And a crossing guard, you're also looking for. And folks can go to fairhopeal.gov and click on employment, right?
That's correct.
Okay,
they
very
can.
Nice. And I see one other post I want to mention. There is a Jolly Jog half-mile fun run that's going to be downtown apparently this Sunday. And y'all have a note to watch out. Parking will not be permitted on Bancroft. Was that last Sunday? Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me on that. It was last Sunday. Sorry about that. Great. Well, is there anything else that you would like to cover that I have not thought to ask or we haven't brought up yet?
I think we've covered everything.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having
me. With your busy schedule. Fairhope Police Chief Stephanie Hollinghead joining us generally the second Wednesday following the second Tuesday, Coffee with the Cop.